Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jordan Patswold. Music, it's so crucial to the worship process, at least in my eyes. It's one of my favorite ways to worship is through song and music. And our guest today, he has taken quite the unique spin on that. It's Pastor Dennis Hendrickson from Christ Lutheran Church out of Regina. He's the lead pastor there. Good morning, Pastor Dennis. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Jordan.
It's great to have you. Now, jazz. Not many people put jazz together with church, yet that is what you've done with the service you have created for the Lutheran Church in that liturgical setting. Tell us, why go the jazz route?
I would say it really has its roots in what Martin Luther did during the Reformation, which was to take music that was sort of the music of the day, the popular music of the day, and use it to craft hymns that then really were the centerpiece of the Reformation in terms of congregational involvement. So this idea of using a contemporary form of music in a liturgical setting, I think has its roots all the way back there. And so some of the tunes that Luther used, you know, would have been also heard, sung in pubs. Hmm. And so that would be the starting point. And the second point would be my own personal love of jazz and my sense of the connection between jazz and spirituality, because it, you know, grew out of the African American experience, and there was two streams: there was jazz and there was blues, but both had connections to kind of the gospel music of the African American church.
Yeah, well, again, it's great to have you join us on the program today. Now, talking just generally about your love of music, did this start very young for you?
I was always in a house filled with music. Many musical relatives. My grandma, for example, was the church organist, and my dad directed the church choir. And my dad also was an electronics technician, so he fixed, you know, radios and record players and stuff. So there always was music playing, either live or recorded, and so from as early as I can remember, music was a big part of my life.
Yeah, well, and just being able to combine two of the things that you are most intrigued with and just passions, putting them together in your career, it's just something, and your just call, if you will, it's just a way to bring those two loves together and share the word of God with others.
Yeah, and in fact, that's probably been one of the biggest blessings in my calling as a pastor is the ability to use music as a major component of what I do as a pastor. And there's not very many professions where you could kind of mix your love of music with your vocation,
right?
But doing that in a church setting, of course, is relatively easy to do.
People on either side of the coin surprised when either they hear that you as a pastor have that love of jazz, or on the flip side, when you're playing the jazz music, people hear that you're a pastor? Like, are people caught off guard sometimes when hearing that the two passions are there together?
I would say so. Probably not so much that I'm a pastor who likes jazz anymore. I think at one time that might have been a little bit of a eyebrow raiser, but it's probably more from the musician friends or people I play with outside of the church context. When they learn that I'm a pastor, I think sometimes that causes them to get a quizzical look on their face and, you know, well, how can that be? You know, but it does happen.
So I've often talked with people about how they take their love of something and take it to a whole different level. And I think for you, when it comes to music, it comes to, well, composing the music and putting together a setting for an entire service to create a theme revolved around jazz. Tell us when this first came into your mind and a bit of teamwork, I understand, to put this into the process.
Sure. Well, the idea actually came to me while I was still in seminary, and it was conceived as a seminary project with another friend of mine who liked jazz music, and we took it to one of the professors there and said we'd like to do this as a special project, and they gave us the green light. But the idea really came from jazz musicians who had already done this in one form or another. For myself, it was Vince Guaraldi, who's probably most famous for writing the music for the early Charlie Brown TV specials.
Right.
And he was commissioned back in the mid-60s to do a jazz setting for the Episcopalian Church in the States and put out a recording called Vince Guaraldi at Grace Cathedral. And I was familiar with that record. And then David Hunter was familiar with some other works, like, for example, Duke Ellington put together some things he called Duke Ellington Sacred Concerts, and composed music for them. So then we got talking about the possibility of taking the jazz idiom and seeing if we could set the Lutheran liturgy to this style of music, or with this style of music.
Well, it's just neat how each section of the service, I've been there, obviously, being a former member of the congregation at Christ Lutheran Church in Regina, but just hearing how you're able to intertwine each part of the service with an element of jazz, from the Great Thanksgiving, gospel, acclamation, if you will, in part, a little bit of a Nicene part, Apostles' Creed, with confessing one God and the Trinity, recognizing that, to going as far as the Lord's Prayer. Tell us about putting together a Lord's Prayer in jazz and through song. Did you find it difficult?
Well, now I have to think back many years here, Jordan.
So it was written a while ago then, this particular part.
It was written in, that was 85.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's when it was first written, and we've made modifications to it since.
Mm-hmm.
In the traditional Lutheran liturgy, there actually is the possibility for the Lord's Prayer to be chanted. Now, in my growing up, I never encountered that, but I was aware at seminary that this could be done, and since then I've heard it chanted. So I knew that the Lord's Prayer could be done to music, and of course over the years there's been many different versions of the Lord's Prayer set to contemporary music, and I remember one as a teenager that was done by an Australian nun, Roman Catholic nun, and it actually hit the top 40.
Wow.
Back in, I don't know, probably would have been, 72 or something like that, so I was aware of those things. Mm-hmm. And then I just said, well, how could I set it in this jazz idiom? And what I chose to do was to use a kind of a blues-based structure, because I thought that the blues in many ways are kind of like the contemporary psalms of the African American people. You know, it's life is hard. This is what terrible things has happened to me, kind of thing. And it's lacking the element of appealing to God for help. But that's where it grew out of. So this idea of recognizing our need of a change in life. So I thought the blues idiom kind of fit it. So that's what I did. I took a blues sort of pattern, chord pattern, and using a blues scale, put the music. But then I shift it for certain phrases within the psalm that I thought were more positive and less pleading. And then I would shift it into a major key, and So that's, I just kind of tried to take each phrase and with the melody and with the chords used, tried to reflect the feeling, what I thought was the feeling of those words.
All right. So when did you perform it for the first time in, I guess, was this part of the project? You then had to perform it in a setting for this project? Was it not until the first time that you did it in Christ Lutheran Church in Regina?
No, the first time was indeed in a church in Saskatoon, and it was part of the project. You know, we had to not only write this and give our rationale for writing it, but then we actually had to use it in an actual church setting, which we did at King of Glory Lutheran Church up there. And then after I started serving at Christ Lutheran as an ordained pastor in 86, I think it was fairly soon after getting here that I tossed the idea around to, at that time, Pastor Orville Kaminsky was the head pastor, senior pastor at that time, if he thought we could do this. And the first times we did it, we did it as a special service in the evening. But then later on, we shifted it to one of the regular morning services. And for the most part, I think people received it well. There were some people who were surprised by the fact that they liked it, even though it was jazz, because they thought that they didn't like jazz music. But I think they had a pretty narrow view of what jazz was.
Okay.
But then there were some who found it too loud or raucous or whatever, and they tended to go to a different service.
Well, and that's, I guess, where clarification is needed. This isn't something that Christ Lutheran Church is not the jazz. Well, it is the jazz church in Regina, because you're not going to find this performed probably at many other churches in Regina. So in that regard, and it's home to one of the guys who wrote it, but you're not doing this every week.
No, every Sunday. In fact, probably I would say over the years, we've averaged doing it about 3 times a year.
Excellent. Again, Pastor Dennis Hendrickson joining us on All You Ever Wanted to Know. He is the lead pastor at Christ Lutheran Church in Regina and wrote Hosanna, a jazz setting for Holy Communion. I know you just performed one, so probably a date isn't set in stone or anything like that if people wanted to come from the Parkland area to see the next one, Pastor Dennis. I don't imagine there's a date set yet.
No, but I could tell you that it'll be sometime in the fall. Like, we won't do one over the summer, but sometime in the fall, I think will be the next one.
All right. Well, that is great. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. But before I wrap things up, again, wanting to play part of the service, and I'm going to play that Lord's Prayer, if that's quite all right with you. And we'll be back with Pastor Dennis in just a moment. That's the Lord's Prayer from Hosanna, jazz setting for Holy Communion, which was written by David Hunter and Dennis Hendrickson, Pastor Dennis Hendrickson from Christ Lutheran Church, lead pastor there in Regina, joining us on All You Ever Wanted to Know. And Pastor Dennis, again, thanks so much for joining us. And one thing you referred to at the start of our talk, how Martin Luther really felt it was important for the church to embrace, music of the day, current music, as a way to connect with people. I suppose that continues 500 years later, and artists and musicians really taking it upon themselves to spread the word of God through music, and how powerful it can truly be.
I think what Luther was trying to do was to get people involved in the worship, because in his day, before the Reformation, the congregation did not sing. There might have been a professional choir or the priest sing or something like that, but the congregation didn't. And so Luther, by introducing the hymns, was really trying to get the people to sing. And so the best way you can do that is by using melodies that are recognizable to them, or a form that's recognizable to them and appealing to them. So I think in the same way, that's sort of what we're doing today. The difference being, though, that we've got so many varieties of styles of music that, when you talk about setting it in a modern context, that could be country, that could be pop or rock, or jazz. I've even heard hip hop stuff.
The headbanging metal music too.
Here would be the challenge, is that headbanging music, is it something that is just spectator driven, or is it audience participation driven? And I think probably the biggest challenge when we did the jazz service was to be able to write music that a congregation could sing, but that was still in the jazz idiom.
Mm.
Because a lot of people would say, well, we don't know how to sing jazz. So we had to be careful about making the parts not too tricky so that the congregation could participate, because that's the whole point of what Luther was doing. And I think that should be the whole point of what modern worship music, in whatever genre it is, should be doing, and that is to engage the people in the process of praising God through song.
Well, it's my hope this can start a series just with different, finding out all these different kinds of settings that have maybe been created. Do you have an idea of where people have taken this to their congregations? I'd imagine they're giving it a try, whether you or David are around.
Yeah, well, we know that the Hosanna setting has been used in the States and has been used in Canada and various places. Typically, it's been used where either David or I have had a connection with people there, so they know about it. They ask us, and we make the materials available to them, the music available to them. We have also been sometimes had requests come to us out of the blue. I had one just a few months ago come to me out of Calgary. Somehow they heard about it, and the request came to me. So I know it's been used in various settings, and it's been used continually for now over 30 years.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk about your setting for worship, Hosanna, a jazz setting. People can find a few more samples, too, if they wish online, can't they?
Yes, they can, yeah.
And I can put up a link as this airs today. People can check out the Rock 98.5 Facebook page if they want to link up here a little bit more. And even they can contact, again, Pastor Dennis through that way as well. This has been All You Ever Wanted to Know for today. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.